on the board. It's time to take a ride on the MCT.
Funko Pop.
Come on, man.
Hey, guys.
Come on,
do you want to go to Lambert's? Big
come on,
Ben.
Come on, man.
I'm married to the Huntress. All right, everyone. Welcome into the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. Jeremiah Johnson alongside Funko Pro, Greg Walden. How are you, sir?
Doing great.
We're heading in to Super Bowl weekend.
Yep.
Have you changed your pick? Are you going with the Chiefs, or are you still going to go with that reverse psychology?
I'm going reverse psychology until Brock Purdy holds up the Super Bowl trophy.
It will be interesting this upcoming weekend. And it was a little bit of a lull in the sports weekend. You had the NFL Pro Bowl, which now they're doing flag football and all that kind of stuff.
Nobody gives that any credit anymore.
Yeah, it's I'm definitely old man in that regard. Remember when the Pro Bowl was kind of cool and they played? But I do totally understand. Like, if I was a NFL player today, I would not play in the Pro Bowl because I'm like, dude, I'm not going to get injured for nothing.
They're going to have flag football, and next year they're going to have them all wearing dresses.
Yeah, so, probably. Yeah, I didn't pay much attention to it. My boys were kind of like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, boys, it's super lame, okay? You know, it's not cool.
This is the not serious football.
Yeah, and most guys don't want to. You know, like, they're when you get to the quarterbacks, it's down to, like, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth guy because, like, Mahomes and those guys, they're like, don't want anything to do with it.
We'll save the monkey show for next week.
Anyway, so yeah, we'll have our takeaways from the Super Bowl. What will we be talking about? Man, okay, getting my lips warmed up here. What are we going to be talking about after next week's Super Bowl? Will we be talking Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, Pat Mahomes, Brock Purdy? We'll find out.
Well, again, I'm going to keep my reverse psychology.
All right. Thank you guys for listening, as always, as we embark on this new year, 2024. And I got to take a table spot this weekend. My good friend Rob Vaughn was at our church preaching, and he threw me through a table.
That was awesome, actually. Now here's the question. How's the table?
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble in the business here, but everyone knows, you know, pro wrestling is not real, but you really have to do everything that you see. Right. So anyway, we did a table spot. So I will confess. So here's what we did. We took the table, and in this particular scenario, we just took the little metal bracket that goes around the whole outside. We just popped that off.
Okay.
So, but you still got to go through the table, and you got to have the momentum, and you got to kind of, you know, and like, I'm not super small, but I'm not super big either. So he's like, I'll get you up there. I'll throw you through it. Your weight will take you through it.
It did.
So, yeah, and there you go. So, and it looked pretty good overall. So, it's not, I mean, I felt it. I mean, actually kind of smacked the back of my head a little bit on the
stage. Yeah, so I was watching the
stage
video.
I'm
like, yeah, your head definitely did not have any good protection from the floor there.
Yeah, so it wasn't void of some minimal, I'll say minimal pain.
But, you know, like I said,
I enjoyed it.
But here, I hate to digress to a different topic, but you like the mountain bike. I like the mountain bike. So, If you watch a mountain bike crash, you can tell who the real mountain bikers are from the people who are not. Because a real mountain biker will go, how's the bike? So if you get in a crash, the first thing they go, how's the bike? Before they even ask how the person is.
Right,
doing.
Yeah, right.
That's
yeah,
a real
yeah.
mountain biker.
Right or, there. Yeah, we say, did you get that on video? Typically before, like, our arms dangling off our shoulder. We're like, did you get the video? Yeah, but your arm, I know, but did you get it on a video?
Yeah.
Very true. And you always know a real mountain biker, in my estimation, if they have super ugly shins.
So a real wrestler would have said, how's the table?
How's the table? Yeah. On the wrestling note, I don't know if you followed this. I don't have an article to pull up, but Vince McMahon is now under investigation.
Oh, boy.
He has tons of sexual assault, and in particular, there's one female that is suing him. And I made the mistake of reading the article, which includes some of the text messages that... And it is evil, dark, really bad stuff, which we know, and everyone, if you're a pro wrestling fan, you've heard this type of behavior is in the industry, and even some have said this has been a part of Vince McMahon's nature. But, I mean, this is like a big deal kind of stuff going on. And so Vince McMahon was wiped from everything WWE because they were just purchased by the same owners, Endeavor, which owns UFC.
Okay.
UFC and WWE are now owned by the same company, TKO. And so, you know, Vince McMahon is not the owner of WWE anymore. He's the primary stockholder, but he's still on the board. But they have whitewashed. You can't find a single Vince McMahon reference picture on WWE.com. Yeah,
he's probably,
and this is a big deal.
Yeah, he's probably headed somewhere besides the ring, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, it looks like it is the end of Vince McMahon. But my big brother, Chad Allmont, told me, you know, even when he was in the WWF back in the early 90s, that he was kind of a creeper. So I don't know those things to be confirmed, but where there's smoke, there's fire, as they say. And so things are not looking good for Vince McMahon and some of the other people that are going to be listed in this investigation that's going to be going ongoing. So WWE trying to remove themselves from it. But the big news of we haven't talked pro wrestling, so I'm talking about me getting slammed through a table this weekend, which was great. My good friend Rob Vaughn of Christian Wrestling Federation. The big match, the other big thing that happened in coming up to WrestleMania, because my birthday is in April. Yeah. WrestleMania is always in April, so I do try to watch WrestleMania if I can. But the big match that is going to be forthcoming and announced this week, all signs pointing to Roman Reigns and The Rock making a return.
The Rock
the main event.
But how many returns has The Rock made?
Yeah,
it's like he's constantly returning. Like,
that's the problem. The problem is my guy is Cody Rhodes. Have you ever heard of Cody Rhodes?
No, I never heard
of him. Cody Rhodes is Dusty Rhodes' son.
Okay.
And there's a long story there. He was in the WWE right out of high school, college, and he wrestled for 10, 12 years. He's kind of like a mid-card guy. Then he leaves and becomes an indie guy. He starts a promotion under the umbrella of Tony Khan, who's part owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They start AEW, or All Elite Wrestling. And he's like one of the co-founders. He helps elevate that brand. He leaves AEW. Many people surprised by that. He goes back to WWE. And last year, he headlines WrestleMania versus Roman Reigns. The big tagline is to finish the story, to get the title that Dusty never got in the WWE.
Oh, wow.
So he didn't get it last year. So now everyone's like, okay, they're going to get the belt. The title's going to get on Cody this year. This is his year. And then all of a sudden, The Rock says, no, I want to be the main event. So some fans are very unhappy right now. And for me, I think The Rock is kind of scrambling a little bit because his movies have been fledgling the last several films that he's produced. So I think he's trying to like use this as leverage to get the career reignited things once again.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing is when somebody retires, it's like, okay, you're retiring. Happy career, go off to Happy Acres. But you know, you come back five or six times. It's like nobody's gonna ever take your retirement ever again for serious.
Yeah,
you just a ploy.
Yeah, and they do that. It's kind of one of the things of the pro wrestling game is you leave, you come back. That is a very common thing. But after a while, yeah, it gets a little bit old.
Yeah, it's like that story's been that dog is done hunted and did everything else.
And although he is super buff, you know, like he's shredded.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's the difference between in-ring work, ability. And even when he walks out, you can tell he doesn't have the flexibility and kind of the, I don't know. And if it's when you're not practicing something, you can't be great at something. So I can't imagine he's going to put on this barn burner match per se.
Again, you don't know why he does. You don't know why he does off screen. I mean, he might still be doing, you know, working out, doing his thing. I mean, I heard he still has the diet, I mean, you see his diet, what he eats.
Oh yeah, dude, I
mean, it would kill an average person.
Yeah, so he's looking, you know, he's looking good, and shout out to The Rock. And I mean, I'm available. I will right now on our podcast say to the WWE, I'm available. I would make myself available that weekend if you need me for any spots
to wrestle The Rock.
Well, The Rock, yeah, anything. Oh. I mean, I could. Logan Paul, if Logan Paul needs me, he's in WWE now. I'm saying I can take a spot. I don't know that I could put on a full match, but they need me for a spot of some sort. I can come in, do some damage. I can take some damage, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's The Rock, I don't know.
Because, when I got – so you realize this the other night when I got thrown through the table, I technically took a rock bottom. That was a rock bottom. Yeah. That was The Rock's finisher. I took through a table.
But The Rock is a different caliber, man. I mean, no offense to Rob Vaughn or anything, but I'm telling you, I think The Rock would pretty much wipe.
Yes,
you know,
he'd take me.
He's a different caliber, man. I'm just saying.
Okay, so that's some pro wrestling moves news. So maybe I'll have to watch the WrestleMania with you this year.
Yeah,
Greg Walden. I need to find a good WrestleMania buddy once again. My good friend Kelly Stevens. used to be my guy. Anyway, so we'll move on from that. Let's get into some tech news. This is interesting. The new Apple Vision Pro goggles are now out. Have you seen these?
I've seen some ads, but...
Yeah, so I'm bringing this up because I have the MetaQuest 3 glasses, yeah, which that was my big boy purchase, and they're okay. So here's the thing. I think if you're going to, right now, the MetaQuest 3, they're best if you're a gamer. Okay? Yeah. I'm a dad of 4 and 2 young guys. I don't have time to game. Right. I do not have time to game whatsoever in my life. So I found the MetaQuest 3 goggles to be like, not super applicable to my life. I think they're good if you're going to get into gaming.
Yeah.
I try to use them from a more practical standpoint. So, for example, I've been watching YouTube through it. Well, that's kind of cool, VR. Yeah. And then you have Meta Horizons Worlds, where you can go into worlds and there's different events. And so you can go to a concert. So they have these different concerts playing. And that's kind of weird. You go into this, I don't even know how to explain it. You go into this concert venue, and then it's like you can see the concert.
Uh-huh.
And it like fades. It's like you're walking. Imagine walking into a pool. One of those pools where it gets shallow and deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
It's like that. So the further you walk in, the more you get into the concert.
Hmm.
And the further you walk out, now you go back and there's some other stuff you can go to. And then some YouTube videos that I watch, it is totally true. I tried to go into some of these VR chat rooms and stuff like that. Very toxic places. Yeah. It's just people using language.
Internet. That's
and
the like, internet for
like,
you right there.
Okay. Like, yeah, I see where they're going with that because some of the places. And it's just like, kids and weird people. There was an NBA one where you can go watch, again, you can watch some NBA games. Mm-hmm. And it's like you walk into the, what am I looking for? The foyer or the mezzanine areas, so like of an arena. Okay. And then you like walk in.
Okay.
Yep. And then you kind of start watching. And it's, I don't know what to say quite yet about the MetaQuest 3 goggles.
So do you actually have to walk with your legs, physically walk with your legs?
You don't. You just have your controllers. Oh, okay. And
so like, I would trip over everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can set up your room where you can be walking and do some of that. So anyway, I'm a little bit indifferent on the MetaQuest 3. I need to get more. My big thing is I'm going to try to do is try to get where I can set up like my computer screens connected to my computer and see if that works out well. Well, anyway, the MetaQuest goggles are out and they're kind of all the rage because they are like the beef up version. And, you know, a lot of these are combining mixed reality. So what's kind of cool is like with my MetaQuest 3, which you can do this with the Apple Vision Pro, is like right now you and I are looking at each other. I can set up where I can see around me, but then right next to you would be my home screen and other things. So it's that mixed reality that I think they're really aiming for is kind of mixed reality more than VR.
Yeah.
So I would say at this point, if you're not really into that stuff, save your money. Don't go buy it.
I never got into the virtual reality stuff. I mean, I'm just still old school.
And the Apple Vision Pro goggles, I have it right in front of me now, $3,500.
Goodness.
Woo! So that's like,
well, that's
Apple. Almost a need buy, well, by golly.
That's Apple right there. I mean, you know Apple, you're going to pay a pretty penny.
Yep. So that's my tech news. What you got over there, Funko Pro Greg?
Well, I got a couple of entertainment and an odd story.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, the first one, entertainment, we did lose a wonderful actor on February 1st, last week, Carl Weathers. You may know him. He played Apollo Creed in Rocky. He also was in The Mandalorian.
Ooh,
and
some
Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, Action Jackson. You saw him a lot in the 80s. But in the last few years, he's pretty much, well, he started The Mandalorian. An excellent actor.
He is a good actor.
But he died in his sleep, age of 76.
And isn't 77 years old is kind of the average lifespan, if you will.
But don't know what happened to him, but I guess he died in his sleep. But an interesting little factoid, and this was hilarious. I just read this on the article. I guess he was auditioning to star in the Rocky movie, the first Rocky movie with Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
He goes in a 2015 interview with the Hollywood Reporter, Carl Weathers recalled auditioning with Sylvester Stallone, who he was told was the film's writer. So he was told that he was writing the film.
Okay.
And he not knowing that Stallone was also the star.
Ah.
Afterwards, feeling the reading had not gone well, he recalled, "I just blurted out, I could do a lot better if you got me a real actor to work with." I thought that was funny. It's like,
wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was funny. That was a, But Stallone actually had a YouTube video a day or two ago.
And I have this pulled 1976, yeah. The first Rocky. Whoa, that's
so a long I guess time ago. Sylvester Stallone actually did release a YouTube video a couple days ago. He actually credited Carl Weathers with the success of his career. He said he probably wouldn't have made as far as he did without Carl Weathers. So Carl Weathers was actually a real good. I mean, people know him. So he's a really wonderful man.
Yeah, and it looks like there's still some more Rocky coming down the pipe. As I pulled this up online, there's a movie called Drago coming up, a Drago spinoff film.
Yeah.
Potentially the Rocky prequel series coming up, the Creed anime. And I have liked the Creed. It was pretty cool.
I've got the first Creed movie. I have never got around to watching it yet, though. I need to watch it.
Okay. Untitled live-action Creed spinoff series. And then there's supposed to be coming up one more Rocky, the final Rocky and Creed project that is currently in development is Rocky VII. What is that? Nine? Or
that would be seven.
Seven? Okay. Revealed details about Rocky VII in 2020, explaining that the story of the film would run subsequent to the Creed movies. Stallone's Rocky VII script sees Rocky befriending a young immigrant boxer, taking him under his wing and training him. Although there's a script, some fans are doubtful that Rocky VII will ever happen due to the conflicts between Stallone and the holders of Rocky's rights. I'm kind of over it. I'm like, you know, again, hey, we're just talking about The Rock, letting it go.
Yeah.
It's like these actors, some of these guys, like, just let it go, man. Just let it go.
Yeah.
At some point, Greg, we have to get old, man. We have to get older, you know?
Yeah, you can't deny it. It's like time's going to keep chugging no matter what you do.
I got one other one along the. So I got sucked back into Netflix again. Canceled my Netflix subscription.
They're going to get wise to your tactics.
A week later, I'm like, dang it, I got to resubscribe because there's a new Masters of the Universe series out. Revolution.
Yeah. I don't know. I never got into the latest ones. The last one that was a 2002, 2003 series, that was a really good one, but they canceled it halfway through the second season.
This one I'm enjoying so far. So this one is He-Man's dad is dying. Okay. And now he's basically saying, son, you can't be a king and a champion. You have to choose the sword or the scepter. Which one will you choose, son?
Interesting.
So now he's got to figure out, do I want to be a king or do I want to be a champion? It can't be both.
Goodness.
It's kind of a good storyline.
Yeah.
I am liking it so far.
Oh, well.
Not like amazing, but pretty good.
Awesome. All right.
I'm not to binge it and cancel again. Over to you, Greg Alden.
All right. So here's a good one for you guys. This is the kind of the trivia question for the show.
Okay.
The top 10 classic TV shows of all time. Can you guess what the number one classic TV show of all time?
Okay. Use the word classic.
Classic, yes.
Okay. The MASH?
Top. No. You're going to slap yourself when you hear this. It's like it's all obvious, but you don't know it. The top one is I Love Lucy.
Oh, that's before my time. So I wouldn't have guessed that one. Right. I Love Lucy. So, Welcome Back, Cotter.
Nope. Second, the first is obviously I Love Lucy.
Okay.
Second, The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Okay.
Third, The Honey.
These are classic. This is true classic. These are we're classics, talking about
not the crap you get.
This is way before my time.
Yeah. So,
and second, I'm getting older.
Yep. Second, Mary Tyler Moore Show. Third, The Honeymooners. Fourth would be the Andy Griffith Show.
Okay. Shout out to Dr. R.B. Manning.
Yep. Fifth is the Dick Van Dyke Show. Six is Bewitched. Six is Bewitched. Seventh, The Twilight Zone. Eight, The Brady Bunch.
I'd be saying like Friends and stuff like that.
Nine would be All in the Family. And 10.
No, okay. Mine would be, so here's mine, Family Matters.
Yeah.
Steve Urkel. What's the one with the twins?
Full House.
Yeah. Those are mine. That'd be classic for me.
And 10 being
Laverne. Saved by the Bell.
And 10 being Laverne and Shirley. And Shirley, which is odd because Laverne and Shirley were actually spinoffs of Happy Days, which is number 11.
Oh, I love, you know, Happy Days. I do remember some of those as a kid, the reruns of the Happy Days. What I find hilarious about that is the guy that's the Fonz.
Yeah.
Like he's, you know, all. I mean, the current roles he's played in the last 20 years, he's like a nerd, loser.
Yeah.
but he used to be the man back in the day.
Fonz, yeah.
The Everyone Fonz wanted to be the Fonz back in the day. Yeah. Leather jacket and t-shirt, right? And like, hey.
So, yeah. You know. Batman was number 19.
The old school? The original one. Hey, I now that one I got into. The reruns of that one, Everyone loves the classic Batman.
The Adventures of Superman, the original TV, was number 31.
Oh, geez. Those are old school. Yep.
Lassie was 35. And the bottom of the list is Dennis the Menace at 39.
Yeah.
And then one odd news, and I guess we'll go back to you. Kid in Australia gets stuck in a claw machine. So this 3-year-old boy climbs into a claw machine in Queensland, Australia, and end up needing rescue. It said it cost him like $16.50 to get him out.
Whoa. Nice.
No, actually.
It did?
No, well, they didn't. Okay. No, I was just joking about they had to spend like $16.50 to get the claw to get him out. No, they actually got him out the old-fashioned way. They took the machine
apart. I love when I lived in Utah, there was this place called Nickelcade, and it was like nickels, and it was all these super ghetto, grungy, old games. But it was only nickel. It was awesome.
Yeah, nowadays it's like $2 to go do a claw machine or something, you know? It's expensive.
Yep. Amen. Well, spiritual talk here today. I don't have a lot to add. I'm just, you know, I'm in my spiritual life, I'm just grinding through the Bible. You know, I've really made it my effort to, you know, it's okay. Sometimes you got to set goals for yourself. And sometimes you got to view it as a challenge. I hate to do that, but it helps motivate me. It's like sometimes I'll be like, ooh, I'm going to see if I can read 2 days of my daily Bible today. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to get ahead. So part of my spiritual life this year is just discipline, you know, of, you know, we talk about that with physical health or things like that, but just staying on track, you know, just making sure that I'm consistent in my spiritual life. So one thing is my daily Bible, which is like just making sure I'm tracking with that. That's a good way for me to just stay in the Word, because it could be like today is February 5th and I'm 3 days ahead in my Bible. So I'm like, cool, man, that's good. You know, cause sometimes it's you just gotta, you know, as much as I'm a spontaneous free flowing person, it's good to have structure to keep in your spiritual life.
Yeah, definitely. And you gotta fall in love with it. If you see it as a chore, you're not gonna last. You're gonna do a couple of days. You gotta be in love with it. You gotta be in love with reading the Word.
Yeah. And sometimes you gotta grind through it. You know, part of my language. I was going through Leviticus today. So
I got the Leviticus
and it's like, okay, don't sleep with your sister, don't sleep with your dad's wife, don't sleep with your dad's concubine. Yeah. Don't, you know, it's like eating, you know, don't eat oysters from the ocean. You know, it's like don't eat it's like, so you gotta grind sometime.
That's a very hard book to read through. I mean it is. I mean it's good something. Even though you see thou this, do this, but there's a lot of stuff in there that's reflects to other parts of the Bible. That's like, why you see the part, but you go back. Okay, so there's a lot of intricacies that you, if you don't understand Leviticus, you won't understand a lot of the other intricacies that are in the other parts of the Bible. Like,
yeah.
So, but it's, and another thing with the Bible is like, if you just okay, I'm just going to read through it, but you don't really ponder on it, you're not going to get nothing out of it.
Meditation.
You got to sit and think about it.
Yeah.
So if you're, here's the thing. I mean, you know, if I could read 3 chapters and get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
Or I can read 4 verses, but get a bunch of meat out of it.
Yeah.
Because I saw it.
I took time to actually
sit and think and digest it, you know. So
yeah, there's beauty to both of those. And I've done both those. I've done where I'm like reading a bunch and then done where I just like, let me just read a shorter amount and then really take it in. And again, I always caution people too. Is like, there's a danger of like, you know, I'm only going to read the Bible if I see lightning bolts and have some massive, you know, sometimes you're going to read the Bible. You're not going to get some big revelation. That's okay too. You know?
Right. And like, I read like months ago, last year, we was reading through Genesis, the story of Genesis. I can't tell you how many times I read that thing. I mean, I went through the Genesis a million times. I can't tell you. And then the verse where it says Adam, Eve took the fruit and ate of the fruit and gave to her husband, Adam, who was with her. I was like, with her. Whoa, he was with. I was like, that all the time, all this time, I thought Eve took it, then walked across the garden, whatever, and then gave it to Adam, and he ate. The with her didn't really strike out until, like, he was with her.
Yeah.
I mean, that changed the whole... dude, that changed the whole dynamic of that story.
Right.
Because now it wasn't like, oh, Adam didn't know it, the devil was tempting his wife. Mm-hmm. He was there. The man... It's like...
Yeah.
It's like, here's how you digest it. It's like, What is the man's role? God created man to be the covering over his wife. He's he's supposed to protect her. He's supposed to be the protector, the head. What did the devil do? He flipped the script. Adam became the submissive one. Then Eve became the I'm wearing the pants type of figure. The devil is not even dialoguing with Adam. He just shoves Adam out of the whole picture. he's dialecting with Eve. Eve's dialecting with the devil. And Adam is just sitting there letting the devil just owning. He's letting the devil pretty much own Eve, his wife. And but think about it. Adam's role being his protector. He should have said, "Get out of here. You're not." And the God says, "God, this is what God says." I mean, he should have said, "It is written," just like Jesus did.
Yeah, when he was temptation. Tempted.
He said, "It is written. God has said, we're not eating this. So you get out, beat it." He should have stood up for his wife. It's like he should have said no.
Right,
he should have cut him off. Like, Eve, get behind me, get back. You get out.
Yeah,
God has said, but he didn't do that. So it was like they had to change the whole dynamic of that story, just from that he was with her.
The Bible's living and active. That's what they say, you know. And true, as you read and reread and read it again, those things come to life, different moments and periods in your life, and then it's a like it's a storage issue, like. That's why I would say sometimes when you're reading and you're not like getting some massive revelation from the Holy Spirit, just know that you're storing up something that you might have to pull off the shelf later on, right? So you're going through some life circumstance, and all of a sudden that scripture that you stored up comes back to you, and there's value to that as well.
Well, so because the Bible says put the word in your heart, that way have the word in your heart so you won't sin against God. So that's how your best sin insurance is having the word in your heart.
Yeah. And one of the big things, I'm not the nerd out, but I'm taking a master class right now, and it is very good. I'm reading a lot about individualism versus collectivism, and us being Americans, we live in an individualistic culture, and we then in turn read the Bible with an individualistic mindset. Okay. Pretty simple to understand that. But then we have to realize that the Bible is written to a collective culture, a collectivist culture. And so even today, as I was reading through some stuff, I really love that one thing just talking about, you know, when you got saved, we view our salvation as an individual experience. True. Yeah, but when you get saved, it's you're brought into a community.
Yeah. You're
being connected to the family of God.
Right.
And, you know, things like that. Like it was bringing up went through the story of the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son, we often focus on just the prodigal son and his individual choices, but really, when you get to the end of the story, there's the other brother, but it was all that story, or at least one of the truths or realities of that story, if we take a collective perspective of that scripture, is that the father was trying to bring the family back together, the prodigal and the brother. He was trying to restore all of them. He was trying to bring the whole community together, not just the prodigal son, although it is about the prodigal son.
Well, also to reduce confusion, Jesus was not a communist. So before we use the word collective, we're not using it in a Marxist communist type of term.
Sure.
So Jesus, because there's actually people out there saying Jesus was a communist. No, that's not the Jesus wasn't say government, you know, Jesus the collective family of God isn't, we're not motivated by power or we're motivated by love and giving of oneself out of love, not out
we're motivated by grace.
Right. Grace, love, but not out of my desire to control you.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of make sure if anybody's thinking, oh, collective, he's saying Jesus is coming. No, God's not a communist. Mm-hmm. Jesus is not a communist. So
I've never heard that before. But God.
I've seen it out there.
Yeah.
They were saying, well, because of, you know, how, you know, they're saying, well, because the Bible, you know, like you're saying the collective part of it, they're saying that Jesus was a communist because of that. Like, no, they're taking that out of context.
Yeah. Point I'm more getting to is just viewing our Christianity with a just more of a collective effort, you know, that it requires all of it. It's a community of believers, and that I take that in all aspects of prayer, in word, in encouragement, in worship. It's, you know, it is the thing, you know, I am a pastor, but it is the kind of thing as a pastor. That's why people can be, in my opinion, you know, absent from church. Church is just secondary, you know, worship and gathering, hearing the word. That's just kind of like, oh, I'll do that. And because they're not taking a collective type mentality to the their walk with the Lord, meaning like I need other people. I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need them to be effective follower of Jesus Christ.
Well, one of the fruits of, it's, obviously, this goes, it goes where each of us need to examine ourselves. But I think one of the fruits of somebody actually being saved is they love to go to church. Now, again, I'm not saying church saves you.
Sure.
But a person who's genuinely saved has a desire to be around other believers, has a desire to go to church. And so their desires change. If their desires are still carnal, again, let's cut it down to chase, let's be honest. The reason why they don't want to come to church is because they're thinking carnal.
Sure.
Yeah. They're thinking carnal. They're like, I'm still serving me. Church gets in the way of what I want to do. I'm too tired. I'd rather choose my bed than go to church.
And
I'd rather choose my job or playing video games or whatever it is. But they're not choosing. They're choosing their carnal flesh over being with other believers.
Yep. And that is an individualistic mindset, that we can't live in as Christians and followers of Christ.
But like I said, you can't be a lone ranger Christian either.
Yep.
I mean, you can't say, I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to walk this by myself, I don't need church, you're fooling yourself.
Why wasn't Lone Ranger on the classic TV show list?
He wasn't there.
And he wasn't solo. Come on, even Lone Ranger finally got Tonto, and Batman finally got Robin, and Superman joined the Justice League, and on it goes.
But I'm just saying that a true believer is going, their desires change. I mean, when I got saved, I wanted to go to church. I wanted to be around other believers. I still love going around. I love going to church. I love being around other believers. I love not just going to sitting in the pew, but I love, I get to teach Sunday school, do something productive, to help others, find Jesus and walk in a righteous manner. God never called you to be a pew sitter. He called you to find a ministry.
And that being together, connecting it to knowing the word, you get to know God better.
Yeah.
Because we have our perspectives and encouraging each other and seeing scripture and God speaking to us differently. And then it just elevates all of us together.
Well, knowing your word is very important because there's so many false teachings. There's so many false doctrines out there that the world is producing that if you don't know the Bible, if you don't know the word, you could easily find yourself being sucked into that stuff.
Yeah. Amen. God bless you guys. Spiritual thoughts I've been cooking, tossing around in my mind as I began the new year in 2024. And so it's February, so we're deep into it already. So keep serving Jesus, guys and ladies, amen, whoever's listening to the Modern Christian Jesus podcast. We're going to go get some pizza.
Pizza.
Talk to you next time. It's time to take a